I just wanted to welcome all of those that have joined us online. Welcome to all of us that are here this morning. I wanted to just say thank you so much for that wonderful time. As you prayed for all those missionaries and online, you would have saw all the slides of missionaries going by. Thank you so much to my lovely wife for reading those scriptures and for Pete leading us this morning in worship. Since it's a lot different with all of these guidelines and restrictions, we thought we'd get a little difference as well. We're just going to move right into the Word. Because so often it gets kind of jumbled up in a sense with announcements and offerings. So we just want to kind of keep this train of thought going as we just join our hearts together in the Word of God. So in Romans chapter 8, we're going to be reading in just a moment about just the tenderness of our God, God's heart for us, and how we can really never lose that love that God has for us, no matter how foolish and how crazy we get sometimes. God just loves us so deeply. And we'll be looking at three different aspects of God's love. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, we'll begin. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" There's just nothing that we will face ever. I mean, God just tries to cover all bases there, that nothing can separate us from that love. It goes on to say in verse 37, "Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I just love that he just wants to kind of reemphasize that again, there's just nothing. I mean, we're just, again, cover even, you know, from depths to heights, from length, you know, just all aspects cannot separate us from God. Now, I'm going to have a little fun here with you this morning. Now, just let me finish my train of thought so there isn't some train of thoughts going down a rabbit trail. But most of you this morning would have saw my lovely wife read some scripture. A lot of you have connected with her from a walk or having a coffee with her, or maybe you've received some of the delicious food that she makes. But I want you to know all those gifts and talents you only get to see a snapshot of. I get to see those gifts and talents every day of my life. And I tell you, it's wonderful. So I just want to make sure you understand that. See, I personally have made some pretty poor decisions in life. But, you know, the best decision, obviously, would be that you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. We all know that. But the second decision, the best decision that I ever made, was to get married to my wife, Amelie. Amelie is the greatest mother to our three children here and fourth child there running the video camera. My wife is the greatest wife to me, her crazy husband. You know, she's got to put up with that all the time. And if it ever crossed your mind that Pastor Rob has done anything good, it's because she's made me a better man. And I hope you would probably say amen and online, you know, hopefully you're clapping and all those kind of things. And next month is our 19th anniversary we've been together, so that's exciting to celebrate. Yeah, there we go. Finally, somebody's getting like, I know we have to wear a mask, but we're all getting a little bit like, I don't even know how to respond anymore. What am I supposed to do, you know? Even during the reading of scripture, just like, I just want to start screaming hallelujah. Like, just love the word of God, but I know we're kind of figuring this out. But I just want you to know how much I love her and how much I value her in these 19 years. I mean, it feels like every day is just a deeper love that we have for one another. So I say that because I do want to honor her, but I say that because I want to go down a track with you. Just keep that same process in your mind for a second. Because we all see God at work occasionally in our lives, don't we? Now, he's always at work. It's just whether we're tuned in or not. So on those times when we see him, he shows up big in our lives, or maybe he's done something miraculous in us or a friend, or maybe we see a glimpse of really how great and loving our God is. So we get to see glimpses of that. But we'll never fully comprehend just how loving he really is until we get to spend eternity with him. We really can't even comprehend what that looks like. So it's a small imagery of, in a sense, you get to see my lovely wife, and you know how great she is, but I get to see it all day long. And so it's the same thing with heaven. When we get to heaven, we say, well, I've seen God at work, and sometimes God's confusing sometimes, but when I get to be with him, oh man, it's a whole different story. Because I think the media in our minds quickly portray all the fear, all the suffering, all the sadness that's going on in our lives. And we wonder, where's God in all this? Where does God love this, what he sees? And we're going to look at many scriptures today that look at God's tender heart towards us. We'll look at it through three different lenses today. God's character is love. God's ways are loving, and God's thoughts are so loving towards us. So let's look at the first point. God's character is love. So in Ephesians chapter 3, you see in verse 18, you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how high and wide and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Love that surpasses knowledge. Love that surpasses our understanding is the kind of God that you and I serve. Oh, that's great news. That's just his character. It's his nature. And often when we get people to tie the knot, we talked about a wedding or an anniversary, and we would read scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love scriptures. And the very first thing we see here, it says in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So love is these things, but you could read it in the same context like this. Because God is love, love. God is patient. God is kind and all these kind of things. That's what it's written there for. It's not so that we can try and bestow upon the husband, like, you better do these things. We always say to them, don't we? Say, you better love God, because if you love God, you'll have these attributes. If you don't love God, it's going to be a pretty bumpy road, because there's nothing else that's inside of you that will create these tendencies without God in your heart. The second thing is that God's ways are loving. So 1 John chapter 4. Oh, we were just reading there. We were actually close to there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And no one fears, or no one who fears is not made perfect in love. But one who fears is not made perfect in love. See, love drives away fear. You know, as we always say this in life, if you're struggling, if you're stressed out, and whatever's going on in your life, draw close to God, because all those other things will be dealt with. Because they're all like smoke and, you know, mirrors in a sense. They're all distractions from the root of the problem. Because if you love God, all these other things will get taken care of. If you focus on all of your distractions and all the things that are going on in your life, you'll just spin your wheels. So get close to God. If you're fearful, you have anxiety or worry, get close to God, and all those things will fall off. In Psalm verse 36, it's going to take us a minute to get there, so that'll give me an opportunity to have a drink this morning. Psalm 36, verse 5. I'm always trying to give you a little bit more time now, because usually I just, and then you'd never be able to catch up to me, so. Hear any wrestling going on? There's free Bibles at the front here if you want one. We got lots of them. You remembered your mask? Let's bring our Bibles too. Psalm 36, verse 5. It says, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. It's hard to read it without wanting to sing that song, isn't it? Your faithfulness to the skies, your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love, both high and low among men. Find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Your love will find refuge in God's wings and his strength. And I love it that God's love is limitless. We often read this time and time again, that it doesn't matter what we do or what we say, is that God is just passionately in love with us. And that no matter how high or low among men, no matter who you are, you will find refuge. Anyone who calls on the name of God will find his love and compassion. We're bouncing all over the place here. Let's go back to 1 John. Maybe we should have just squished those two together so we don't have to flip back and forth. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. God just loves you so much. He wants to lavish. I just love the terminology God loves to use in Scripture. Just all kinds of different angles and different ways. Because when I say lavish, for some of you, you're like, oh, I can resonate with that. When I say a different word, you know, you can resonate with that. So God just wants to encompass everything through Scripture so we can all connect with what he's trying to say. The last one on the second point here about God's ways are loving is in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, we see in verse 4, it says, in love, he predestined to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure and will. God's pleasure and will is that he would adopt you because he loves you so much. Now, I want you to think about this for a second because, you know, honestly, you could have a child by accident, but you cannot adopt a child by accident, can you? You know, sometimes we go through life and situations present themselves, but to adopt is such a process today, isn't it? I would say that it's going to cost you a ton of money and a ton of effort and a lot of meetings and a lot of videos probably to make that happen. This is not an easy thing. And I'm not sure if you actually all know this, but I was actually adopted as well way back in the day. My name was, Robert Charles, that is my name. And my original name, though, was Robinson. And I don't honestly really know my biological father. So my grandfather, who's now 96, living in Vancouver, his name is Anthony Britton Robinson, and his nickname is Tony. Might be some of those out there, those Anthonys who got nicknames Tony. And so my great-grandfather, who actually I have a picture of this morning, and his name is James Milton Robinson. Well, I guess his name was because he's unfortunately not here any longer. This picture was taken like just at the turn of, you know, around 1900. So there he is there. And his nickname, I don't know how you get James Milton, and his nickname was Tony out of there. You can see the word even Tony written on there. There he is. And the next picture is some trophies he won because he was a great golfer. And he won these trophies in the Kelowna and Kamloops area. And you could see almost on the trophy, J.M. Robinson. He won the tournament there. So it's where I get my natural swing abilities. It's from him. You know, you just put a bat or anything in my hands and all of a sudden, you know, she's going. And I guess he was good at that as well. And so I remember my grandfather, Tony, took me out golfing, took his grandson out golfing. He thought, okay, it's the grandson, you know. We're going to give him the old clubs. You know, we don't know this kid very well, right? So I remember just stepping up with the one wood, and I blasted the one wood head. Like the head busted off. The one wood head went further than my ball. And I was just standing there, like looking at my grandfather like, oh my gosh, I'm in so much trouble, right? And I don't know what happened. But there it was. So when I was around 9 years old, though, my mother was single, and she was going to law school in Vancouver, landed her first position in Prince Rupert. So she met Wilf Young. Now, he had lost his wife in an accident, a car accident. So I just, oh, it just burdens me to even talk about it. You just imagine saying to your spouse, you know, love you, I'll see you for dinner. And they just, she never came home. That just burdens my heart to even think about right now. Woof. So my mom, who was single, Wilf, who had lost his wife, they got married, and they went through this process. And that's how I got the last name Young. And my dad, Wilf, went through all the process. And the staple's even now like a bit rusty because it's so old. This is from 1986. Went through the whole process of adopting me. And I remember at 9 years old, they go, do you want this guy to be your father? And I said, well, I don't have one of those yet, so I would love to have a father. And he did something so wonderful that as I read scripture like that about God adopting us, you know, it was an effort for him. It wasn't just an accident. We're not accidents. God's love for you isn't an accident. God's love for you is planned out. It took effort. You know, if you think about it in the same kind of way, Once you become a believer, your name is written down. I find my name in here written down and signed. So that when I die, God will look at me and say, I gave up my one and only son so that I could have you as mine as well. So you see, God's already paid the bill for our release. God has already signed the document so that we could be free. I wonder if we would accept that as a free gift. Isn't that a powerful thought? So true about how much God loves us. He made such a great sacrifice. So my third point here is about the thoughts. God's thoughts are loving. Now, a very simple scripture that everyone likes to refer to, probably the most printed scripture on any kind of hats or sweaters or posters, is John 3:16. But I want to look at it in a completely different light. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It might be hard for some to understand if you're not a parent, but just track with me for a moment. The love that parents feel for their children is possibly the deepest love one can have for another. Do you remember that firstborn child you had? You used to drive recklessly, like out of control fast cars. You now put a child in the car, you are like a Sunday driver, you know, not even going the speed limit. Watch out, you know, look out, you know, you're just super cautious, right? Because there's precious cargo on board like never before. There's just something about that. And I found it funny, too, is like, even when Almi was pregnant, still a little bit more reckless. But when baby was on the outside, whoa, different ball game, right? So you can just see how we think so differently about a child. If you talk to any loving parents, they probably can't imagine any reason they would be willing to give up that son or daughter, willing to lose them. They'd much rather die themselves or give themselves up on behalf of that child, because their child's life is much more important to them than their very own life. Isn't that the truth? But God loves you and I so much that he was willing to give up his son. He was willing to let his son come to the earth, be mistreated, and ultimately die for our sins so that we too could be his son and daughter, so that he could adopt us in. Isn't that just wonderful news? And we read that before, like, it's beyond our understanding. You can't even comprehend that in your mind. You can only read about it and go, oh, okay, I guess I can kind of relate to that. So Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I want to expand on that thought. So just keep that thought going for just a second. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So taking that same understanding from John 3:16, we see that God gave up his one and only son at that point for a sinner. Whoa, man, now we're getting close. Think about someone that doesn't know Jesus, someone you might not even like. Would you be willing to give up your son or your daughter for that person? That's a powerful thought. Picture yourself giving them up in exchange for them. Picture yourself, you know, as you're holding your son or your daughter. We don't have any babies here this morning, do we? And being willing to give that up for somebody you don't even know. That surpasses our understanding. That surpasses our thinking. Why would we ever do that? But God did that so graciously. God did that so lovingly. So there's nothing that you can do because you were broken and you didn't care about God, and he did that before you even thought about him. That's the kind of God that we serve. So when you turn to him and love him, he's not like, well, now that you love me, I'll love you back. Well, he's already 1,000,000,000 steps ahead of you, isn't he? Isn't that just a wonderful thought? I want to share a story with you that happened in Whitehorse when I lived there. It's a bit of a journey of a story, but there's a point to it in the end, I promise. So when we lived in Whitehorse, we did a ministry called Adopt a Block. So you basically adopt a street. You go to that street once a week, and you would do whatever it takes. You know, you would shovel things that, you know, came from other animals. You would mow grasses. You would shovel their driveways because it was the Yukon, for crying out loud. There was more snow than, you know, it just kind of grew out of the ground. But so we would do these things for people on the block. And the one day, I just remember going to this guy's house, you know, knocking on his door. He came to the door. He looked like a ghost. I said, whoa, like what happened? What's going on? And he began to tell me a story. How him and his friend were walking down a trail, And kind of like we have a Skeena River here in the Yukon, we have the Yukon River that would flow right through town. It's a very similar layout here. I just love it. I was just like, oh, this is so much like Whitehorse. And so this Yukon River was flowing, and they're walking down this trail, and all of a sudden they see a young boy face down in the water going down the river. Now, this is like the Skeena River. You don't swim in that river. You don't jump in. You don't encourage people to get in that river. Like, people would lose their lives every year in this river. So the two friends are just like, whoa, what do we do? So the one friend, his friend, he said, jumped in because the river was moving so fast. When he jumped in, he couldn't get to him in time. So the boy kept going down. So he's standing there watching his friend, you know, not drowning, but, you know, barely making it back to shore. And he just panics. So he runs down the trail, gets in front of where this boy was so that he could, you know, get him when he came by. So brings him to shore. They get him on his side. They get the water out of him. They start giving him, you know, whatever, CPR. Ambulance takes him, gets him to the hospital. So he's, you know, doing okay. So he's telling me the story, and I'm thinking, holy smokes, I just came to, like, love on you and see how you're doing. I thought, wow, that's intense. I thought, okay, well, I gotta, you know, 12 more houses I got to bang on. So I kept going. I found out later, too, that that guy and his friend got a medal from the city for the efforts that they made and just willing to give up their lives, in a sense. If you jump in that water, this is glacier-fed water. You just don't know what's going to happen. And the guy that the door that I'm knocking on as well, too, he has two of his own kids. And I just thought, oh, isn't that just, he just doesn't think about anything else, but there is somebody in trouble. There's somebody in need. That's the kind of God that we serve as well. I'm just instantly all in. So again, I go about my rounds, and I get back to my car, and like I do often, you probably notice when I'm hanging out with you, I just try and turn my phone off or I leave it aside. I hate getting distracted when I'm trying to engage with a person. So I go back to my car and I flip my phone open, because it was flip phone back then, and there was all these texts that had come through, and they're saying, hey, this guy Benji, who's on our board, he fell in the river, and his son fell in the river. And they haven't found Benji, the dad. But they found this young boy, Miles, and he's in the hospital now. Would you, let's, as a church, you know, it's a prayer chain going around. Let's be praying for this family. And I can just remember talking to the son, Miles, and he shared the story of when he went into the river, his dad just, again, you know, it's your son. You don't care. You just go. And he can just remember picturing his dad underneath the water, constantly just pushing the sun to stay above water. So much current, right? Just stay above water so you can breathe. I don't care about me. As he's drowning, as he's not making it, he's making sure his son will make it. And that Benji, unfortunately, in a sense, was never found till much, much later. And we find the story, too, that they were just playing in the water just very naturally, and all of a sudden got too close, and off he went. And so when that story came to our Omni and I's lives, I looked at Omni and I said, I don't really care what's going on right now. I don't care what plans we have or who we're supposed to go see right now. I need to be there. And so, you know, it's my job. Like, it's what I do for a living. I remember just walking out of the house and saying, you're going to sleep, you know, by yourself tonight. I'm going to the hospital. I remember just sitting there with the family all night, just praying with them, and we were just praying that the dad would be found and he'd be okay, but he just never came home. And that poor son is, you know, has to deal with that. That if I didn't play near the water, my daddy would still be here. Ah, just that hurts to think about. But I just remember in that moment, it was just like, you just have to give up whatever's going on because God is there. God wants to be there in that moment. God loves you so much. He's willing to, in a sense, you can imagine that. Just he's just trying to lift you up. He's trying to hold you up because he loves you and cares for you so much. He doesn't want you to be drowning and full of fear. God is just carrying you on his wings like eagles, we read so often. We could never earn or deserve the love that God offers us. So we see in Ephesians here, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. But because of his great love for us, not because of anything else, Because of all the great things that we've done, he loves us. Because of his great love for us. And we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, and those that who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. He was raised again." For Christ's love, it should compel us. We think, oh God, I deserve to not be here. I deserve to be in hell in a sense. But God just lavishes his love out on us. And that should compel us forward. That should compel us to do what God is asking us to do. And the very last piece of scripture today is in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us." So often my own thoughts and my own heart and my own mind will have times and glimpses of good things. But there's times when my mind will feed me lies. There's times when my heart will deceive me. But when we have what God has poured out into us, this is how we'll know that we're on the right track. When the love of God lives right there in the Holy Spirit, he will give you a heart transplant. He will adopt you as his sons and his daughters. And I just love that train of thought. The reason that you and I, as even I read these stories, or you have your own stories, you are brought to tears, brought to an emotion, is because God is that. That's God's heart in it. When you see people being hurt, have you ever experienced that? I remember working at a clothing store, and honestly, lots of these clothes that I have way back in the day, I used to work at a really high-end men's clothing store, and I obviously get a discount at that point, so I was able to pick up clothes, and I'm getting a little snugger as we go with all those extra ice creams and those kind of things. But I remember just standing in the store, and on the street corner was this couple, and this guy started giving it to his wife, just yelling, started hitting her. And I'm working. I'm the only guy in the store, and I'm watching this, and nobody is doing anything. They're walking by. And I had just like the Christian anger, and I'm joking, but like, you know, I was like, this is not right. This is not okay. So I just went out there and said, "What are you doing?" Well, he just ran off. So I was glad I didn't have to like fight him or something. But I just thought, the tenderness of God doesn't approve of those kind of things, right? It frustrates him in a sense. Not God doesn't get frustrated, but like he just wants to love people. He doesn't want to see those kind of things going on in life. So let me just close our time together with a prayer, and then we're going to share some announcements and take up the offering, which is an interesting way to do things. But Lord God, we just thank you. Oh God, we don't deserve any of this, but you love us. You want to be close to us. You desire to be in relationship with us. You've given up everything so that we could have that. God, we just honor you. We worship you because of that. Lord, we thank you for your word that reminds us in every single book in the Bible how much you care for us. God, we don't deserve it again, but you give it to us freely. Lord, we thank you for giving up your son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you set us free because of that. Lord, we honor you. We cherish you. In Jesus' name, amen.